time for Licking on Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Licking on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Licking on Lending, David Licking.
Let's begin.
Good to have you with us, everybody. It is Monday, April 9, 2018, and we're back in Texas, back home. Hope you had a great Easter. Now you say, well, aren't you a little late on wishing us Easter? That was last Monday. Well, I was flying back from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. We had an amazing snow skiing trip. Fresh powder fell early Easter Sunday morning, and I had some of the best ski runs I've had in decades. It all came back. It's always fun when you're an old man, and when you get those runs and you get those little moments where you feel like you're a kid again. So anyway, I hope you had a good Easter. We're back, all of us, live on the podcast. We just want to say welcome to the podcast. Again, this podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals, and we're grateful to have you as our listener. We're committed to bringing you timely, updated information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. The reason I was interrupting my thoughts there, I was thinking, I'd love to get your thoughts, folks, if how many would like to see this also done video-wise. We're getting so much feedback that says audio is much better. But, you know, after I was on Dave Savage's interview that he did over Skype and he posted on YouTube, we have had a ton of downloads of that. And so I'm always looking for how things can be stickier and what we can do. But audio seems to work, the feedback we've gotten, but I'd like to just poll our audience to see what you think. Anyway, we've got as our hot topic today a real interesting topic called digital marketing. And where's this all going? There's a gentleman by the name of Steve Ryan, who's the founder and CEO of Rytech LLC up in the Chicago, Milwaukee area. He's actually offices across Milwaukee, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. He and I spoke together at the Independent Community Bankers Association in Las Vegas about 3 weeks ago. I was so impressed with the content he had about what's going on with what consumer trends are, what's going on with basically how you can connect on a consumer direct basis through digital marketing. So I invited him to come on, and we found some space and got him on. So we'll be talking with Steve Ryan a little bit later in the Hot Topic segment. I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors. We are so blessed to have the MBA, a partnership with the MBA. And if you're not a part of the Mortgage Action Alliance, sign up. You do not have to be a member of that association, the MBA, to sign up and be a part of Mortgage Action Alliance. Also, Arch MI, Jim Jump and the team, Andrew and the whole team, David Gansberg. We're going to have David on here as a guest here coming up here very soon. Looking forward to that. But very pleased to have the partnership and relationship with Arch MI, the creator of the innovative new RateStar program. Also, Black Knight, the leading provider of integrated software and data and analytics solutions that facilitate and automate many of the business processes across the homeownership life cycle. Mortgage Collaborative, the power of the network. Great group of people, great way for you to connect. Check out the Mortgage Collaborative website. Also, we had Brent Emler on last week. Did a great job talking about CRMs. And VELMA stands for the Virtual Electronic Marketing Assistant. Pleased to have them with us. They're an automated and efficient marketing and email platform. And I encourage you to check out their website. Go back and listen to the interview last week. Then we have our newest sponsors, the Knowledge Coop, providing easy and fun training for mortgage lenders. You've got to check out their website. Really some great free content there. Called Freemium. Check it out. Lenders One, the largest and oldest mortgage cooperative, creating competitive advantages for both lenders and vendor members. We are proud to be a part of this association as well, and very excited about what they can do for their lenders and their vendors that are part of it. I was on a sales call this last week with their entire sales force, and I got to tell you, that group is so committed to helping you advance your business. Encourage you to check it out, Lenders One. Open Mortgage, our first, probably not our last, but first mortgage company that's now advertising with us. Whether you want to buy a new home, refinance your mortgage, or considering a reverse mortgage, check out Open Mortgage. Go to openmortgage.com. Check out, by the way, all their videos. If you're looking at how to do your website, take a look at what Scott Gordon and Tana Gordon and the team there have done on their website. It's kind of an example I'm using now for lenders and how to connect with people through video. The power of video is very, very effective. Also, and finally, I want to say thank you to Alice, Joe, Andy, and Alan for their contributions to this program that makes it so compelling and so content rich. So let's go out to Rob Van Rapphorst to see what he has for the MBA Minute. Rob?
Hi, I'm Rob Van Rapphorst. Welcome to the Mortgage Minute and the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. The CFPB released its semi-annual report this past week. It included four recommendations by Director Mick Volvaney to hold the Bureau more accountable. They include funding the Bureau through congressional appropriations, requiring legislative approval for major Bureau rules, ensuring that the director answers to the president, and the creation of an independent inspector general for the Bureau. MBA's weekly mortgage application survey showed that mortgage apps decreased 3.3% from 1 week earlier, and the average contract interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage remained unchanged at 4.69%. This year's National Advocacy Conference is being held April 24th through the 25th in Washington, D.C. Keynote speakers will include HUD Secretary Ben Carson and Senate Banking Committee Chairman Mike Crabo. Attendees will also hear from House Financial Services Committee member Trey Hollingsworth and senior Politico correspondents Anna Palmer and Jake Sherman. Thanks for joining us this week.
I love the partnership with those guys, and check out these conferences. The MBA does a great job of putting on conferences. By the way, I appreciate all the listeners that are dialed in and listening on a streaming basis, getting some emails from some of them right now from across the country saying how much I enjoy your program. Love the upbeat nature, love all the information, and on and on and on. Thank you. We appreciate you guys letting us know. It really does help when we're doing these podcasts to know that we're meeting a need that's out there. Very grateful to hear from you. And do let us know if you'd like to see more video of us doing it that way. So anyway, let's get over one of the conference. I'm speaking at the DoubleTree by Hilton in Detroit. I'm speaking at the Mortgage Resources. Vince Valvo puts on these conferences there, and there's one there in Dearborn that I'm speaking at this week, April 12th. So Wednesday night flying up to Detroit to speak. Forward to seeing you. If you're there in the Detroit area, check it out. Go to mortgageconferences.com. Look at all the conferences. I'm speaking at a good number of them this year. The next one that's coming up is this week in Dearborn. Check it out. Look forward to seeing you there. Les Parker. I always love the music medley. And last week we pre-recorded. He was harassing me on that. I don't know if you guys heard that, but he didn't respond to that. I said, well, that's because we pre-recorded everything. So anyways, that explains it. So I don't know if he's got any harassment, but enjoy as we listen to a macro view of economics and what's going on with interest rates.
Thanks, Dave. This is Market Logics Live, sponsored by Loan Logics.
Now that she's back in the atmosphere, drops of Jupiter in her head.
But tell me, did you sell across the curve? Did you trade it in the bearish way, then see the lights all fade? And the Keynesians are overrated. So tell me, why bulls? Stock weakness is the headline reason, but let's look at some others. Big tech struggles have only just begun. We wrote about it a while ago. Expect a publishing company regulatory model to emerge for the FANGs related to their data gathering and mining activity. Asian emerging markets like Sri Lanka, Mongolia, and Pakistan are showing signs of debt stress as China lends and spends on its Belt and Road initiative. Tell me, did the bulls fall from a shooting star? These views are my own. Go to loanlogics.com to subscribe to my daily newsletter.
You know what? I'm getting some text messages in. First of all, yeah, I love the music too. I appreciate you guys telling us that. Several people wrote, says, you know, I love the music, but I don't understand the message. I encourage you to get Les Parker's daily email that he publishes. A lot of time goes into it. And I got to tell you, when I first started reading it, Les thinks and operates at another plane. He got up there with a prophet doctor, and it took me the longest time to really get my head wrapped around it. But he does explain in this music parody and using what he does, and explains kind of what's going on in a macro way, what's happening. I encourage you to just If you don't understand it, continue to apply yourself by getting his newsletter, reading it. It may look like Greek. Sometimes I swear I was reading the thing upside down. I just did not understand it. It's important that as mortgage professionals, we understand what's going on a macro basis. And as you've heard Les numerous times on the podcast, he does a great job of doing that. And another guy that kind of helps us understand it, unfortunately, he breaks it down to real simplistic kind of stuff for the average Joe, is Joe Farr. Joe, good to have you on the podcast, friend. Good to have you, friend.
I'm one of those in the camp of I'm not sure I quite understand where he's going with some of that stuff, but
you try to apply and understand. I was going to ask you, do you understand it all? But there are a number of people that write me that go that. But then we have another people that go that are really dialed into the markets and do understand it, and they appreciate it. I think half the people appreciate the music parody more than anything else. But anyway, what's going on in the markets? What do we got to look forward to this week, friend?
Yeah, today we're down just a little bit, not a lot, 3/32, and Dow's up 360 points or so last time I looked. No economic data came out today. The Dow's kind of reacting to a softer tone coming out of the Secretary Mnuchin over the trade issues with China. Apparently over the weekend he had some softer tone to what he was saying. And then also over the weekend, the issues in the Middle East or potential issues in the Middle East developed, and with Syria apparently bombing one of its own cities again with chemical weapons.
And
since that has happened, somebody has bombed one of the Syrian Air Force bases, and we're not taking credit for it. The expectations are that it was Israel that is the one that bombed the Air Force base. And there is an emergency meeting of the UN scheduled for today. President Trump has said he would, he will have major decisions in the coming days. So, you know, who knows where all that's going to go.
Could have a big impact on the markets, though. I mean, it could be a cause for a real flight to quality.
It's not so far today, but if it escalates, you certainly could see a flight to safety. Looking at last week, it was a lot, you know, it was all driven off the trade war issues. And as it seemed more likely, or as it was escalated by one side or the other, the stock market reacted. As it seemed to soften a bit, it was positive. As new tariffs were proposed, it got worse. And as the stock market got better or worse, MBS prices sort of went the other way. And so we saw a little bit of volatility, but as far as MBS prices go, the net effect was negligible, I think, a 32nd in price over the week. The stock market did lose 300 points, 350 points or so, but we're up that today. So, you know, right now we're back to where we were to begin the day last Monday. The economic data last week had very little effect, even with the jobs report coming out. Jobs were weaker than expected, 103,000 announced, 175 expected. Prior months were revised a little lower by 50,000. Unemployment rate remained unchanged. Wages did rise a little bit, and maybe that's kind of helped offset the weakness in the number of jobs. But even with the low number of jobs, the average number of jobs over the last few months is still pretty good. So, and then last week we also had the ISM reports, both manufacturing and services, both missed slightly to the downside, but neither seemed to have a big effect on the market. So looking again at this week, of course, as I mentioned, the situation in Syria could have effects. Trade talks will likely have effects on the markets during the week. The economic data that's to come out primarily is inflation data, PPI tomorrow and CPI on Wednesday. The minutes of the last Fed meeting will come out on Wednesday. Friday's consumer sentiment and jolts. There are also some speakers on Friday. So, you know, again, like last week, I think discussions about the tariffs and the trade wars and the potential impact that has on the economy and on stocks is going to drive reaction in prices for MBS and therefore mortgage rates. But as we've stayed in a very narrow trend this whole, actually for the last 2.5 months, I don't think it'll have a big impact one way or the other on mortgage rates or MBS prices.
Well, there's no question that there's a lot of potential for some volatility in the marketplace here with what is underway here. And it just seems like about the time things look like they might settle down, well, then you get another surprise. Appreciate it. I'm really interested in the inflation data. What are the economists anticipating? Modest? Because that's probably the biggest thing that it's a macro effect that could have cause for rates to go higher.
The PPI data is expected to be unchanged from last month. The CPI core data is also expected to be unchanged from last month. And, you know, it's not so much the number, it's whether or not it deviates from the expectations.
Yeah.
Market bakes in the expected. It's when you have the unexpected that things get kind of haywire. Thanks so much, Joe. I really appreciate it. Thank you for being here. Looking forward to having you participating in the discussion a little bit later on. We're all learning something about the internet. Looking forward to having our good friend Steve Ryan on the phone and talk with him later on the hot topic. Folks, if you're looking for an easy and fun training technology, you want to listen to our friends and get to know our friends at Knowledge Coop and what they have to offer. They provide lenders with a technology they refer to as a smart digital platform. It's really pretty incredible, so I encourage you to reach out to them.
At the Knowledge Coop, we work hard to create training that engages and encourages our audience. Once people are engaged in training, they are more likely to stay focused and retain the information that they need to know. So here's your training tip for the week. Next time you have an important policy or bit of knowledge you need to train, do it in short clips and make sure you sprinkle it in with a little bit of humor. Video training is highly impactful, but only when done in the way we've been conditioned through TV. Videos should be no more than 5 minutes, should get to the point, and humor should be sprinkled through to emphasize the important points. Memories are more powerful when attached to an emotion. If you need help with your company's training, please reach out to us at knowledgecoop.com, and we'd be happy to assist. And that's your training minute from the Knowledge Coop, which strives for easy and fun training for the mortgage industry powered by a smart digital platform.
Appreciate it, Nathan. Grateful for it. Check it out, knowledgecoop.com. Alice Alvey couldn't make the program live, but she did send us in a pre-recorded comment. So let's hear what Alice has as far as the legislative update. Alice?
Hello, everyone. This is Alice Alvey reporting to you from beautiful Orlando, Florida at our Union Home Mortgage Annual Summit. So we're at a fantastic event this week with our top sales folks and top operations folks and getting a lot done, doing a lot of planning. So I'm coming to you recorded. And what I'd like to do is tell you a little bit about one of the current CFPB proposed rules. This is a request for information, actually, regarding the Bureau's guidance and their implementation support. I really think this is one everybody needs to pay attention to because it affects us quite a bit. Comments are due by July 2nd, so you have plenty of time. It's not a long read, but they are asking a lot of good questions. So the main purpose of this RFI is the fact that, you know, we get a ruling, and then after that, we get official interpretations, and then we sit in on webinars, and they tell us certain facts and procedures within the webinar, but then they always follow with a really long disclaimer of you can't use any of this in the event of an audit. Some of the follow-up interpretations that they publish are questionable or maybe weigh a little bit less in the event that you actually have to take that issue to court. So this is a very in-depth request for information that walks through some good questions about how should CFPB be giving information to the industry. Do you like the current format that it is coming to us in? So I'll give you an example. You know, they're asking about the Small Entity Compliance Guide, for example. To me, the Small Entity Compliance Guide, yes, it's well written, but it's also missing things. And I've met lenders over the years who have pulled up that Small Entity Compliance Guide thinking it's an all-inclusive of a particular regulation, and it really isn't meant to be that, and that guide doesn't say that very clearly in the beginning. So they talk about different interpretations and also an FAQ option, right? How should the CFPB, as they get questions from industry and consumers, how should they post those responses? So I really find that this is a very, very valuable RFI to dive into and pull together some responses from an industry perspective so that we can tell them, look, we need information. We can't wait for the whole notice and comment 90-day period all the time. We need CFPB to have the tools to provide interpretive guidance along the way. We need it organized. We need it clear as to whether it's enforceable or non-enforceable. We don't want them to stop giving us guidance just because it may not be concrete and court, because certainly that guidance can be something that we can use to defend ourselves in the event of audits along the way. So as I mentioned, you can find this from the CFPB website. This is their the request for information, docket number 2018-0013. So it's the 13th publication that they've put out so far this year. And this one is, like I mentioned already, regarding the Bureau's guidance and implementation support, a very important proposed rule, and hopefully the summary has gotten you motivated to get out there and comment. It should be an easy one to put together. Get the comments out early and take a look at some of the comments that are out there. As an industry, we want to make sure our issues are prioritized. There could very well be a lot of consumer advocacy response to this that wants a much more conservative path, and we want to make sure that we're getting the information we need timely so we can execute on regulations, make corrections timely, and make sure we've got accurate information and complete information to stay in compliance. So, Dave, that's my quick report for today. Each week now, over the coming weeks, we'll be giving you a summary on the multitude of RFIs that are pending out of the CFPB website. So thank you all, and have a great day.
Appreciate it, Alice. You know, if you live in Cleveland or Columbus or anywhere up there in Ohio and all the weather that's going through there right now, it is a dream to be in Orlando. Hope you enjoy your time there. We'll be right back after a quick few words from our sponsors.
Are you using one of those expensive CRMs that your loan officers won't use? If so, then give my friends at Velma a call and let them help you create a customer journey that relies on the data and not on loan officer interaction. I encourage you to consider working with Velma to create a truly automated marketing experience for your organization. Velma makes marketing automation easy. Schedule a demo today at velma.com, V-E-L-M-A.com.
The Mortgage Collaborative was founded by former chairman of the NBA, John Robbins and David Kittle, and leaders at the forefront of the diversity movement in the real estate industry, Jim Park and Gary Acosta. The Mortgage Collaborative is the nation's only independent cooperative. The Collaborative provides its members the opportunity to meet and form meaningful relationships with top mortgage professionals and leaders in our industry. In a relationship-driven business such as ours, often who you know is as important as what you know. To learn more, go to mortgagecollaborative.com or call Rich Swarbinski at 440-552-0691. The power of the network.
Very good. The power of the network. Check it out. The Mortgage Collaborative. Appreciate the partnership with them as well. Alan, good job on your report last week. There was a ton of information. I've gone back and listened to it two times. I think I need to go back through and listen to it again, but man, that was a condensed, that was serious condensation of a lot of information. Appreciated it. Good job. What you got for us today?
Hey, thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, just on that, David, real quick, it's going to be something that we just continue to hear about. It's going to be big. Yeah. It's going to be innovation. So we'll follow it and we'll help everybody stay abreast. So today, two quick topics. Actually, the first one's kind of interesting. The industry, as we know, has been talking about the cost to originate a mortgage loan, right? And there's a lot of different things that go into that cost. There's technology and, you know, originator compensation and things we call butts and seats, right? All those great things. So the MBA in their quarterly mortgage bankers performance report said that the cost to originate a mortgage loan hit a new peak. It is now $8,887 per loan, which is up from $7,562 in the fourth quarter. Couple facts from the report. First, lenders saw a net gain of $224 on each loan they originated in the first quarter. It was $575 in the fourth quarter. So that's quite a difference. 342 companies reported production data for that first quarter, lenders, non-banks and banks. And the average production volume was about $455 million, which was down from $690 million in the fourth quarter. And for those that listen to the podcast and don't know what those numbers represent, it's about 1,944 loans in the first quarter, down from 2,811 loans in the fourth quarter of last year. So a lot of compression
drop
of margins. That's right.
Yep.
That's right. And David, you and I are doing a lot of work there with lenders trying to help them understand, right, where some of the costs are going and how to, when do you get the ROI from the technology, as I mentioned earlier. So for anyone that wants more information or wants to chat with us, please give us a call. I also want to talk a little bit about data breaches. I was doing some research online just this month alone. 20 million records were leaked. And I've been looking at the types of breaches. There's a website called IT Governance, very interesting site. For those of you that follow cybersecurity attacks and different things, you want to check it out. It's itgovernance.co.uk. It's international, but just I'm going to read just a few, and I'm going to blow your mind. So this is March 2018 alone, and I'm going to go through cyber attacks. Atlanta City government systems are down due to ransomware attacks. Atrium Hospitality notifies hotel guests of ransomware incidents. MVSU campus loses internet after a ransomware attack. The county employees are targets. So in the Pinelands Regional School District, county employees were all targets of a major malware attack. This gets better. Data breaches. In Hawaii, license ID and data were lost in a server crash.
Yikes.
System failure affected 66,000 people. Oregon tax agency employees copied personal data for 36,000 people that was stolen. Medical records exposed in a flaw in the Argus software platform were exposed. National Lottery was hacked. 10.5 million players are warned to change their passwords. It just gets better and better.
Wow, that's extraordinary. Yeah.
So, anyways, so
no mortgage companies in there, at least. No financial institutions. That's good.
That's right.
Maybe. Yeah, but well, there's a great. I mean, shoot. After the whole Experian breach, there. I mean, this is serious stuff. We alerted two podcasts ago, commented about that was sent in to me and by one of our listeners, and it was really interesting to see how many people are operating on public Wi-Fi. It's just dangerous. I mean, companies, escrow companies, real estate companies, and you just can't
operate it.
When you're looking at this type of thing, when you're on airplanes and things like that, now I'm getting really to the point where I don't even know if I want to use the Wi-Fi. What is some guidance? Real quickly, I mean, we got to move on here, but real quickly, should you even use anything that's Wi-Fi? That, like on all the airlines you and I fly around in the country on, should you use it? Is that a problem?
Yeah, it depends on what you're using. There are personal VPNs that you can use that connect you out to a different server that secure your information. I would say you have to be very cautious of where you are, and there are ways to turn off applications you're using on your computer. Of course, in the mortgage lending world, right, you shouldn't have anything on that computer other than work.
Anything.
It should be connected directly through a VPN at all times. That's right. And a lot of the industry is starting to move that way. I will tell you, David, real quick, you asked me what you can do. I'm going to mention two things and then get into that super fast. Panera Bread announced Monday it had patched a vulnerability that leaked millions of customers' records for 8 months, and it may have affected more than 7 million people. Think of all the people that use Panera Bread to buy and order ahead of time. The hack comes after Under Armour disclosed a breach of MyFitnessPal where 150 million users were breached. Recently, Best Buy and Sears just had major breaches by a company that does chatting online website for customer service. And in addition to that, Delta was also just recently hacked. So the list goes on and on. We know that Facebook is information being shared with Cambridge Analytics, and they're about, you know, Mark Zuckerberg is about to testify before a joint session of the Senate Judiciary and Commerce Committee tomorrow.
Testified or crucified, so anyway, I don't know, but he's
gonna, right.
It's not going to be good. Yeah. Yeah,
so
well, appreciate it, man. Good job.
David, one thing I will mention is if for the folks that want to know, if you go to Have I Been Pwned, it's actually called Have I, letter I, Been, PWNED.com. It has a complete glossary or an index of all the places that your information may have been stolen. If you put your email address in, it actually will show you if your information has been shared or compromised. I put mine in. I found three places already that it was compromised.
Wow.
So check it out.
Good idea.
HaveIBeenPwned.com.
How I Have Been Pwned. Interesting.
That's
very
right.
Interesting. I got to get that. We'll put that. Send me the link. We'll put that up in our show notes so people can go there and look it up. They don't have to listen to the whole podcast again. Excellent job. Appreciate it so much, friend.
Thanks,
we'll
David.
Be right back after a brief word from Jim Jump about the very innovative and exciting RateStar program. We'll be right back.
Thanks, David. Let me tell your audience a little bit about Archemy RateStar. RateStar is the most sophisticated pricing solution for mortgage insurance quotes ever built. RateStar has an advanced revolutionary design. It's simple to use, it's easy to access, and it's fully mobile. You can access it anywhere, anytime. RateStar provides a more sophisticated and dynamic pricing solution far superior than conventional rate sheets. It's available on loan origination systems through many pricing engines, and it rewards your origination of high-quality loans, again, with our most competitive rates. Of course, RateStar is backed by Archemy's people power, providing superior support and service whenever you might need it. For more information about RateStar, please go to archemy.com or archemycu.com for credit unions. Thanks, David.
Appreciate the partnership with the whole team there at ArchMI. Great group of people. and we're looking to get David Gainsburg on. I was talking to Jim this past week, and it's really interesting what's going on in pricing. So we're hoping to get David on to talk about all the various pricing issues that are going on there. Alan just sent over the link. Go to our website on what he was just talking about. Jumping, searching around topics there. I hope you followed that. Prophet Doctor, you always seem to follow my random logic patterns there. Good to have you on. You know, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure you know that we all dial in early and we get a chance to talk. And Andy was sharing with me some interesting statistics about the MBA and when he's doing this webinar. So, Andy, to share that with our audience and then talk a little bit more about what you got on the coming up with the webinar.
Sure, absolutely, Dave. Well, thank you very much. And, you know, we've been working together for over 10 years, and there were
days where
amazing? I would talk to you three times a day, so I got to learn your thought process. So you don't ever
yes,
seem rambling
random.
To me.
you got used to it is not the issue. I appreciate that.
There's actually a deep-seated wisdom and intellect behind it. It's just because your stream of consciousness, it kind of comes out in pieces, but there's gold nuggets within it. So
that's
to answer
funny.
Your question.
That's good.
To answer your question, Dave, so in our webinar, our accounting webinar, which we launched last week and are continuing for the next five more weeks and then two more weeks later in servicing, we always ask polling questions during the presentation. It's an hour and a half long, so roughly halfway thereabout, just to make sure people are still awake, because, you know, we're talking about accounting. So we ask a polling question, and one of the polling questions that we've been asking for years now, probably 7 years, is that do you have loan-level accounting that's deployed in your organization, and do you have key performance indicators that are used and deployed in the organization? And 5-7 years ago, the answer usually was, no, we don't have loan-level profitability. Now, yesterday and the previous 6 months and the last couple of years, as we have been asking that question, the percentage of people who are deploying loan-level profitability has been increasing. And it's gone from probably only 20% did loan-level profitability to now 70-80% of people who are responding to our webinar do now use loan-level profitability.
Encouraging.
Yeah,
you're making a difference, Prophet Doctor. You're having an impact.
Well, the industry as a whole, I hope so. I hope that we are. The industry as a whole is becoming more complex, and as it becomes more complex,
there's
bigger capital requirements, more focus on earnings, so the ROI to an investor in mortgage is starting to shrink a little bit because the costs are rising, as Alan just talked about. So you really got to be able to, you know, squeeze blood out of a turnip. You got to be able to get every single dime, and you do that by having really good business intelligence, including financial intelligence. You've got to know every dime that's spent and every dime of revenue collected and every aspect of the loan transaction. So on that closing disclosure, we've got to track every single penny that we spend and every single penny that we either receive or pay. And that's how you get a financially robust organization. But that's just the first step. Because once you get the information to realize, oh my goodness, every time I close a loan for originator XYZ, I'm actually losing money because they're always slow, they close late, we get lock extensions, and they want price concessions, and they want to give out lender credit. So by doing loan-level accounting, you actually get visibility on that type of activity.
That's so good.
So you've got to do that. You've got to understand your numbers. And then you got to go to the next step. And Dave, I'm going to steal a phrase that you've used to say. And maybe you've become more PC, so you don't say this anymore. But you used to use the phrase, when you used to train originators, you would put them into the three buckets. And, you know, the good ones, the medium ones, and the ones that either what you would say is produce or perish. And so, to me, that notion is the reality of mortgage banking today. Today, unless we do it once and do it right the first time, we are going to perish. So it's not like it's just a nice to, instead of making a 30% return on investment, we're going to make a 29%. It's much more dire than that. You have to know the numbers and do something about the numbers. And I think it's going to become very significant for the independent mortgage bankers to really fine-tune their organization. We're working with a lot of commercial banks expanding their presence in mortgage lending. And I tell you what, if the independents don't pay attention and really get their organization super smoothly operating, they're going to have a challenge. The costs are going to continue to rise. Margins are going to continue to shrink. And you can't keep just winging it. You've got to have structured processes. So there you go.
And no one's better at helping you come up with that than yourself. You really do a great job with these webinars. The MBA talks to me about how much they value the partnership with you and what you do for them. That's excellent. Yeah, but someone texted me, so what does POP stand for? Producer Parish, and it's part of three things. RIP is rest in peace. Personal improvement plan is PIP. RIP, PIP, and POP. I heard that when I first got a mortgage banking, and it's stuck. And they're going, like, if we need to put people in some various buckets, and how are we doing it? I don't know if it's, I don't think there's anything not PC about it, but anyway, it may sound a little quirky, but we don't have enough of that going on.
Just the notion of parish. I mean, we don't talk about, we're not allowed to say, you do that or you're fired. You can't say stuff like that anymore, so that's why I was, I mean, this is
yeah, it's good, that's a good point. But we need it, how do we get that back, Andy? Because we look at costs, and somebody's talking, I tell you, the leadership program that we're doing, the Lickin' On Leadership program, folks, you can listen to it on Saturdays when we release it. You can listen to it anytime, it's on our website. But it's amazing to me, that topic is picking up. We're changing. I tell you, we're at an inflection point in this industry. It's time for costs to change and what's being paid out, especially when they're low producers. And you're a big fan of that. I know you are. And you got your son. Fortunately, he's a top producer, so he's in the business doing real well. And he listens to this podcast, which I think is one of the reasons he's also getting so good so quickly. So anyway, thanks, Andy. Appreciate it. Good to have you here. Smartest guy in the room when it comes to dealing with anything and accounting, and he can break it down and make the simple, the most complex, simple. I make the most simple complex. How about that? Anyway, we're off. Good to have you here. Appreciate that so much. Hey, I was out with someone this last, appreciate you, man. I was out this last week with someone, and we were out in the field, and which is code for we were at lunch, and he was talking about this, and he whipped out his iPad, and he brought out his Motivity Solutions dashboard. Now, there's different tools you can use, and you need to have a dashboard. We encourage you to check out Motivity Solutions. We went through, he showed me what's going on with his company, then his iPad has internet service, so it connected right into his network. He showed exactly where things are at, and we drilled in and looked at what is being done. There, we run this ad every week called What Gets Measured Gets Results. It's that KPI or the key performance indicator of the week. I want to tell you, this is all good stuff, but what the value is you have the your information in the fingertips. When you're sitting at a restaurant looking at performance metrics and what's performing, who should be in the RIP, PIP, or POP category, it really is effective. Check it out, MotivitySolutions.com. I was going to play their ad. I go, no, I just want to share this story. It was really, really effective. Check out and call the folks, 303-721-9000, or go to MotivitySolutions.com. They're also part of the Black Knight family. Before we get into the interview today with Steve Ryan, our Hot Topic segment, let's hear about Black Knight, who is the leading provider of integrated software data and analytics solutions that facilitate and automate many of the business processes across the homeownership lifecycle. So without further ado, let's hear from our friends at Black Knight.
TRID 2.0 goes into effect later this year. Are your processes and technology ready to support the new requirements? Black Knight, a leading mortgage industry fintech, can help with all of your compliance efforts. The system is continually enhanced to help lenders meet changing regulations, including TRID 2.0. Black Knight's Empower Loan Origination System offers expedited implementation timeline, which results in reduced costs, and can easily scale to accommodate your business growth. Learn how you can get Empower now. Contact Black Knight at blackknightinc.com.
Black Knight, check them out. You have your loan service, most likely it's being serviced on their MSP platform. They got data, the analytics, software. It's so many good things that they have going out. You need to get in touch with these people, the Black Knight team. There is a lot of, and I call them the quiet giant in the industry. They do a great job. Appreciate them very much and grateful for having them as a sponsor. Black Knight. Anyway, Steve Ryan, good to have you here with us. Steve is the founder and CEO of Ritech, a digital marketing firm with offices in Milwaukee, Washington, D.C., and Chicago, man. Yeah, go to Chicago. So anyway, it's good to have you here. Your firm helps with digital marketing solutions, and Steve has previously spoken at many conferences, trade shows. That's where he and I met, was at one of the conferences at the ICBA conference. Good to have you with us, Steve. How you doing, friend?
I'm good, David. Thanks so much for bringing me on today. Looking forward to our conversation.
I'm glad. I really am, too. Now, are you in Milwaukee? Which office are you in today?
Yeah, I'm in our Chicago office, and yes, there is plenty of snow on the ground. The Chicago Cubs just moved their home opener from today to tomorrow because of the snow.
Well, I was so impressed with the content that you had. You blew us away with all the information you shared with when you and I spoke together. And I really am grateful that you took some time to willing to come onto the program. What's really interesting is of the 3.4 million internet searches conducted on the internet per month here in the U.S., and I'm wondering what percentage of them is related to refinancing or first-time homeownership. Are you able to track that and get those kind of statistics?
Yeah, we are. You know, what's nice is there's a lot of data out there that we can be looking at and sifting through. And what we're finding really is that that 3.4 million for the mortgage industry is really focused on any word that has mortgage in it. So it doesn't even come close to bringing in, you know, refis, first-time home buyers, you know, anything like that. So,
Oh, really?
You know, that's a whole separate category. I mean, refis alone has over 40,000 searches per month. First-time home buyer has over 90,000 searches per month. So when we start to look at some of these related terms, you know, then I would bet the number for each of these are really going to get into the millions in and of themselves as we start adding additional keywords and looking at some of the different longer form questions and keywords that people are searching for.
When you look at keywords, I want to get into that, and I want to make sure that I'm so excited to have Andy and Alan and Joe join us in this discussion here in just a little bit. But when you say 85% of the relationships with business will be done without human interaction by 2020, that is amazing. And is that because of the using devices such as Alexa and Siri?
Absolutely. I mean, that's certainly part of it. You know, the amazing developments that we're seeing with, you know, personal devices and really even search engines becoming more sophisticated and smarter. One of the biggest changes I would say we're going to see is search engines wanting to house all of the information right in their engine so that you don't even have to interact with websites alone. So whether or not, you know, you're going to be looking at local packs or some of these, you know, airline industry being able to book on Google without having any interaction with the website whatsoever. You know, I only see the mortgage industry following suit.
Yeah. Well, we're a bit of a lagger, but you look at what Rocket Mortgage and you look at Quicken is doing, and now with the news that Google is getting into the business, we've got to pay attention to this. And when you say 18% of local searches are done on mobile devices that lead to a sale, and there are other indicators that other products are moving down that line, be more specific, if you don't mind, and as it relates to mortgages, where did mortgages fall in all this?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the numbers are certainly going to continue to trend upward, especially as search engines aim to make service-based industry businesses more trusted and find, like, qualified providers. So certainly, yeah, we're going to see a lot in cafes, restaurants, grocery store searches. But for mortgages in particular, as rates continue to get more and more competitive and need to be compared against a wider range, I wouldn't be surprised to see this directly in search engines and then leading to conversions as part of it.
You know, Andy, I want to get you in on this thing, because when you start looking at this, this has got to help drive down costs on that. So you want to jump into the discussion, then we'll move around for Alan and Joe.
Hey, Steve, Ryan, thanks for being on the show. RITech it is. Sounds like a cool name for our company. So, you know, this all sounds really interesting. 85%, that sounds pretty disruptive to me of people not wanting to talk to humans. You know, I'm not sure I'm on board with that, but, you know, what do I know? So tell me how this is going to help us address this shrinking margin business that mortgage lenders face, where we've got this crazy gas station war competition happening with everybody on the corner cutting it by a quarter. How do we cut costs so we can remain competitive using this technology?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly, you know, the overall goal with all things digital is to get our lead cost per lead down and then our cost per conversion down even more drastically. So, you know, what we're seeing is, especially in the term in terms of like pay-per-click and how advertising is happening and you're paying for each click that's coming to your website, these search engines are making it so easy to advertise on their platforms that what we kind of take a look at is looking at different words and some of these keywords like we were talking about before, and looking at some of the ones that are going to have a lower cost per click so that we can really use that data and use those keywords that people are searching on a low cost per click to bring that cost down but still have a high conversion rate. Because you look at, you know, a mortgage to salary ratio search that has a low cost per click as opposed to a mortgage calculator that's going to have a huge cost per click because of all the different competitors that are out there kind of bidding on some of those keywords.
So Steve, people have been talking about the notion of beating the realtor to the customer. So we want to, anybody that searches home loans in Austin on the Google search, we get an email that says, hey, they're looking, and we contact them and make that relationship before they get the realtor. It gives us the ability to, one, send them to the realtor, which is a value add for that relationship, and it more likely ensures us getting the loan. So that's almost like a consumer direct-ish kind of way of going. What's the reality of that becoming something we experience?
Well, I would say it's pretty high. As I kind of look at the way the industry is exploding and people doing their own searching, people who are maybe even not considering a house right now or are actively considering but haven't engaged that realtor, they're still going off and they're doing their own home searches. They're doing all their internet searching, whether it's app-based or computer-based, really looking. So I would say you're going to have a better chance almost of getting them at that point. I would say let's not talk about a paradigm shift here. You know, the realtor is certainly still an important component of the transaction and has the local market knowledge and those sorts of things to make the mortgage side easier. So I certainly don't want to discount that by any stretch of the imagination, but I think that's probably your biggest area for growth is to get them pre-market and pre-realtor to then continue to solidify your relations with realtors and continue to solidify how you work together and best service clients.
I love it. I hope that's true. Man, that would be awesome. All right, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it.
What we're finding is when it comes to this area, those companies that are intentional and perfecting their process as connecting with consumers, they draw them into a relationship before they go to the realtor. And if you wait until they're ready to buy, you've missed the opportunity. I encourage everyone to get the book by Jeffrey Moore, Crossing the Chasm. And it explains what we're talking about. I'm speaking on this in Detroit and at every one of those mortgage conferences across the country. It is a trend that we're seeing, and I'm excited to share about it, and I will be and am at each one of these conferences. Alan, I know you've got a hard stop, so jump in here. I'd love to get your thoughts, and you certainly have a perspective on it with all the consulting you do in this area.
Yeah, thank you. Steve, nice to meet you. Actually, I'd love to chat with you offline, learn more about RITEC. But David, you had mentioned Google earlier getting into the mortgage business,
right.
And I don't know if that's true or not. I was involved in two pilots with Google many years ago where they wanted to get into the mortgage pricing because the amount of searches online was quite large. And we actually, the company I was with, along with many
others. I meant Amazon, by the way. I apologize if I said Google. I meant Amazon's getting into it.
That's okay.
Google.
I will give the perspective from Google's side just because I'd love to hear your feedback. And then if you don't mind talking about the Amazon effect, that'd be great. That was sort of where my question was going to go anyway. But what I found, what happened, you know, you did mention that the search engines want to maintain and hold that data so you don't have to go to external websites. What happened is that the market was so volatile and the rates changed so often that they weren't able to meet the demand. So it was like a bait and switch depending on which way the market went. So they wound up having to stop the program. There may have been other reasons, but we provided them, I'll just give you a quick example. We provided them data. They made 3 trillion scenarios pre-baked of pricing data in order to support.
3 trillion.
That's right. In order to support a 0.02 return time, which they have their own SLA on how quickly information has to be returned. So with that said, you know, what do you think about, you know, where it really fits that search engines may get more into what we do? Maybe it doesn't have anything to do with pricing, right? It has to do more with other types of content for our industry. And then the Amazon effect, if you don't mind talking about that.
Sure. I mean, I think they're kind of, I would say they're one and the same in that context because, you know, everybody's looking for a one-stop shop. So, you know, the Amazon effect certainly is out there with, you know, Prime and coming and being able to get pretty much whatever you want, no matter where you are, in 2 days' time delivered to your hand. So, you know, you have that, this idea of I need instant gratification, I need instant information. And so the search engine part and role in this is really the aggregation of the data. So in terms of these snippets and, you know, being able to curate that data and aggregate it and get it into that search, into the searcher's eyes, I think it's going to be, I don't think that's going to happen this year. Could it happen by 2020? Yes, probably, because they're only going to get more and more sophisticated. What I really see search engines going to be pulling out is creative and effective content that is being housed on different websites, whether it's a lender, whether it's a realtor, you know, what have you. But we really want to be looking at that type of content that is going to be informative. It's going to answer questions. It's going to be long form. I know people don't like to read anymore, but search engines certainly do. So
yeah, it's instant, right? It meets that demand of having it in your phone and seeing it right away.
Fascinating. Let's run over to Joe Farr. Joe?
I'm wondering, how does a small to medium-sized mortgage company take they agree they need to begin doing this? What are their first steps, and how difficult is it for somebody without the big IT department to implement any of this?
Yeah, that's a great question. What we find is we see people running into it and trying to do digital and all things to everyone at once. And that's where we see the biggest failure. And when you're trying to do search, you're trying to do social, you're trying to do content, you're trying to build a website. So really it's taking a step back and being strategic about it and say, okay, what key performance indicators, what are my goals, and start at goal setting. And it's tried and true that if you start and set your goals and then identify who you're trying to go after, don't try to go after all different types of consumers with the same approach, because it's not going to be effective and it's not going to produce the return on investment that you're looking for. So perhaps your niche is luxury homes or the luxury market. How can you go after that luxury market and those high jumbo loans and really, really leverage that and build collateral and content and online presence related to that to really make me as the consumer be like, yeah, that's me and I want to work with you. So step one would be strategy and identifying that. In terms of how a small to mid-size with a lower staff, there's different ways that you can do it and different options. You can engage with third-party consultants and help and use them to, leverage some of their insider information and their talents. There's certainly different free tools that are out there right now that can be used to see what is search volume locally, what keywords should I be looking at, how can I do that. And there are cost-effective ways to implement a lot of what these search engines are doing, especially in the advertising side of things, is really trying to make it automatic. So the business owner doesn't have to necessarily even target target keywords or create ads. Whether that's a good or a bad thing is really another question entirely, but certainly the ease is there. And at times, this necessity of advertising is leading to maybe some increased competition, but the do-it-yourself DIY options are certainly there.
Yeah, interesting. Let's talk about ranking. When it comes to ranking factors, are you seeing any new trends emerging, and are they remaining pretty consistent year over year?
So I would say the biggest change that we've seen so far is that local ranking is really influenced now by proximity. It didn't used to be quite as influenced by proximity, but now it's a huge trend that we're seeing. And what I would say, that's new. What's still out there that I would say is tried and true, link building back to the site is certainly still the number one organic ranking factor. So trying to work to get some of those high quality, good links from domains that have a high authority and credibility are certainly going to be really important to continue to do. But, that local proximity is huge.
That's really interesting. When it comes to this thing called pay per clicks, PPC, another acronym, that's all we need. When it comes to the PPCs or the pay per clicks, are you noticing any changes of the rising of them rising, or is the trend moving lower? Which way is the pay per click concept going?
I would say it's rising in the sense that there's much more competition out there that are going to be bidding on the same keywords. So my kind of tactic or piece of advice to keep your costs low and to keep those down is to really start looking at some of the longer keywords that maybe have a smaller search volume but are going to be more cost effective in the long run. That'll really let you keep your margins higher and your costs lower to be and still be effective.
Interesting. I mean, this whole pay-per-click is one of those things you got to pay attention to, but you don't need to do that, do you? What is the most effective way to create, content and get in front of people? Is it just having a great website, working on SEO? What's your recommendations for companies, which kind of goes down the lines of what Joe was talking about?
Yeah, I think in terms of shareable content than being effective, what we're really looking at and that's often overlooked is thinking about what people, especially on the sales side or customer service side, are being asked on a day-to-day basis. If somebody's being asked the same question multiple times a day, there's a good chance it's because people can't find it find the answer or a thorough enough answer to that question. And so building that content out on your website is certainly something that would be important to look at. But there's a huge variety of different ways to reach customers that is shareable. Doesn't have to be just through one. I would certainly recommend it's not just through one. You know, a 2-sentence tweet versus a 2,000-word blog post are certainly going to attract two different types of content sharers.
Yeah.
A video is certainly going to be more engaging. Maybe it's a fun Instagram image or some sort of helpful infographic. You know, all of those are certainly shareable and certainly engaging that we're really, you know, trying to look at all the different avenues to get after the clients and the customers and acquire the business and build the relationships.
You know, I'm thinking about all this and where it's all heading, and I'm thinking of this old song that came out, gosh, I'm a bunch of years ago, in the year 2525. I think Zager and Evans did that song. And it's just, we're seeing so many things change, and I think we're about ready to go through a major shift in our industry. Would you agree with that concept, or is it going to be, no, this is just going to be a modest shift? Are we at a tipping point at some point? You talked about you don't see a paradigm shift, and that I found that interesting.
Yeah, I would say we're probably going to be more at the modest shift this year and next. I would say our tipping point is really going to be 2020, 2021.
Okay, so that's when the real shift.
And that's,
well, that's around the corner.
It's not that far. Yeah, it's not that far away, but I would say that's really when we're going to see that huge tipping point and really kind of be transitioning everything if you haven't been.
For those that want to, it's time. In other words, the good news, if that's true, then there's time for you lenders and listeners to get out, start making some adjustments. If you want to get a hold of Steve Ryan at Rytec, what's the best way for people to connect with you, Steve?
Website, RytecLLC.com, giving us a call, tweeting at us. You know, we're pretty accessible, so whatever's most convenient for those that are interested.
Well, I appreciate you coming on and being with us. Wish you the best. We do want to have you come back. We're focusing on this, listeners, because this is such an important topic. There is time, if Steve is right, there's times I get to wonder, really honestly, when I look at the fact that Amazon's getting into this thing, how quickly should this tipping point could happen? But it's never too late to get in. You need to do so now. Take a look at the book, Jeffrey Moore's book, Crossing the Chasm. I'd rather have you participate in the early majority than following the laggards in the late majority. So you'll understand if you read the book, but go read it and go there. Thanks so much, Steve, for being a part of the program today. Appreciate you and wish you well. Next week, folks, April 16th, we have Michael Jones, the author of a new book called Reset, and we're going to be having him on. Michael and his family have owned a Georgetown Mortgage here in the Austin area for a while. He's been a faithful listener to the podcast, very grateful for that. And he sent me his book a while back, and we were trying to get him on earlier, and we ran into some issues on scheduling where we had too many fingers in the cooks in the kitchen. We were scheduling over on top of each other, so we finally got him on. Very excited about next week's program, so be sure to tune in. We're going to be really talking about efficiencies. He's the CFO at Georgetown Mortgage. Don't miss next week. Look forward to having you back, and thank you for being a part of the program today. And most of all, telling others about that. Did I repeat that already? Yeah. Anyway, that's how we grow. Talk to you soon, everybody. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.